Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, everyone.
Sorry, I just got to take my pants off.
Oh,
got to get loose.
It's what are you looking forward to?
Exactly, it's the holidays. Everyone's dressing down. I'm Austin Walker. Joining me today for our final of these holiday podcasts of Waypoint Radio. Obviously, the noises of Rob Zachney.
It's a quarter zip. It's a quarter zip. Okay. Sue me.
Okay. Also, Danielle Riendo.
Hi. No quarter zips here, only full zips for me.
Okay.
It's not Patrick, any better. I don't
Patrick
have any,
Klepek.
I got no zips.
You got no zip from Patrick. I'll do a nice half. I'll be a centrist, half zip.
Oh, the centrist.
The half zip. Okay. You know.
Patrick's like, I got no zips, covered in straps.
Oh!
You know me, Tetsuya Nomura, super fan over here. Give me some straps and belts.
Oh, God. Well, for our last episode of this Waypoint Radio, you know, we wanted to the trend piece that ran on the site today was a piece about game remakes that were kind of a big deal this year. A lot of
the
Titans are back. Crash Bandicoot was back this year.
Couldn't talk about them last year, but this year.
Oh my
boy.
God, we should one day. You know, I guess we. One day I will tell the story about why 2016's Waypoint end of year content had no Crash Bandicoot in it, but not this year. Maybe next year that'll be a gift, a holiday gift,
man,
for you.
Aliens and Crash Bandicoot conspiracy theories. Shit, man.
So today what we wanted to do is, instead of looking backwards, instead of thinking about what happened this year, instead of thinking about what Titans of the Old returned, we wanted to leave on this note of 2018 is coming, and I think it's fair to say that 2017 was a shitty year, but had really incredible games. I think there's lots of questions about what 2018 might bring. We are recording this on the 18th of December. I'm putting that out there because we have no idea what's going to happen at the end of this week. There are conspiracies about, or there are rumorings, there are murmurings about Robert Mueller being fired.
Alloys.
There are alien alloys. Fantastic article over on the concourse, the Gizmodo Media Group or whatever it's called now, the concourse.deadspin.com/someone-explain-to-me-the-alien-alloys before I fucking explode. Someone explain to me these alien alloys before I fucking explode is a great article about alien alloys that were found recently that no one is talking about.
They're
we
real.
Don't know what the future is coming.
They're real.
That is, we don't know what's happening between now and the time you hear this. Maybe you're listening to this 30 years from now on a decrepit iPod that you found in a Zune that you found and download. The thing about that though, Patrick, is someone would have had to have downloaded this onto their Zune already.
Hell, someone do that. Someone take a photo of you listening to this on a Zune. Do it for
and
me.
Then deposit that in some sort of lockbox that Eli from the Book of Eli or whatever that character's name is could find and listen to us. So who knows what the future holds? But for now, what we're going to talk about is the future of video games in 2018 and some games we might be looking forward to. I asked everyone here to arrive with one game that they're looking forward to in 2018. Who wants to kick this off for us? Who is feeling the strongest about their 2018 game they're looking forward to?
I'm feeling strong.
What are you feeling about?
I'm feeling real strong. I'm feeling like I've got telekinetic powers and levitation and pyrokinetic powers. And that's all giving me strength.
You can't mispraise your 2018 game.
No. See, this is another game that has all those powers in it. It's going to have all those powers. Okay, it's Psychonauts 2. I'm really excited for Psychonauts 2.
Sure.
The sequel to my favorite game ever. Like, my easy answer, you know, I have a more complicated answer, but if anybody asks me, like, they always ask you if you're, like, traveling internationally, what the hell you do for work, and then they ask you what your favorite game is. Happens all the time.
Classic.
Happens all the time, and I'm like, Psychonauts.
Classic security line question.
I got asked
what's your mother's
this, like,
maiden name, and what's your favorite video game?
Well, they asked what you do for work, and I'm like, I write about games, and they're like, what's your favorite game? So it's, you know, whatever. Psychonauts is my favorite game of all time, easily. It is a, I think, really great platformer that has a lot of good adventure game stuff. I know it's almost become a refrain for me, that adventure game DNA and a good platformer, because we've seen it this year, actually, which is pretty rare. I mean, this was kind of the first game to do that super, super well. The Banjo series did this as well, but this was kind of the first one that just took that to the next level. It wasn't like 90% platformer with 10% adventure. It had a lot more adventure stuff in it, and it had just really creative world design, really, really, really interesting, weird levels, and it had the kind of jank that I find charming and not annoying, basically.
Right.
I mean, the meat circus, you know, can still go to hell, but whatever, I go through it. So Psychonauts 2 is supposedly coming out next year. That is the plan, anyway, and I've been very eagerly watching and anticipating the game. I'm trying not to watch too much stuff, but I do watch the little documentaries they put out every now and then. And I'm not actually a backer. I've never actually backed a game in my life.
Ooh.
That's a thing that I've never done, because I don't know. I've just
And if Psychonauts 2 can't get you there, then I don't think
anything ever will.
Anything will, yeah.
Which is okay. I'm more interested in the end product necessarily. So what I'm excited about.
I'm curious about that game.
All right, yeah. I was going to say what I'm excited about is what Psychonauts 1 did so well. I'm excited to see that sort of in this generation. I'm excited to see that with, you know, the promise of maybe some smoother gameplay stuff. They're finally using Unreal for this. I've seen a lot about the animation and sort of the mechanical general design of the moveset of Raz, your sort of player character. That makes me confident that some of those rough edges might be a little bit smoother in terms of the pure gameplay itself. But what I'm really excited about, again, is world design. I'm really excited to see, if you're unfamiliar with this premise, I guess I should very briefly say that in Psychonauts, you are a psychic summer camp kid, and you go into different people's brains, and everybody's brain is sort of a world, like a 3D, you know, world, like a level. And there are various conflicts. There's things like emotional baggage that you have to run around and find, stuff like that. Just very, very clever, very, very fun. Funny in a lot of ways, and I'm excited to see that done in a sort of modern engine with sort of modern sensibilities and even more of that good stuff that I like.
Does it pick up? Is it tied to the same situation, or are they not in camp anymore?
So in terms, I think they may have like graduated from camp, because there was a VR game that came out this year in like February that is also a direct sequel to Psychonauts. It was Psychonauts and the Rhombus of Ruin. I need to play it, and it's like the one VR thing I actually want to play in my life. You know, apologies to every other VR game. And that was the direct sequel that happened right after the sort of cliffhanger ending to Psychonauts 1, and then this is a direct sequel to that. So it is all in the canon, in the Psychonauts canon, so
God.
To speak.
Does the VR game take place like in between the two of them? Like,
it does, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's all a direct lineage. It's all, you know, it's all part of the story, folks. It's all part of the story.
How do you feel about this, I guess, like, after this year of... Or I guess my actual question is, are you nervous at all about this?
Sure.
Coming off of a year where we had Mario Odyssey, which I know you were a big fan of.
Yes.
But we also had Yooka-Laylee, which felt like it should have... It was another crowdfunded game that should have stuck the landing on exactly the genre you love and then kind of didn't.
It should have understood level design, if nothing else, but it didn't, and that's very sad. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm more nervous than anything, and I'm like generally a pretty big fan of most Double Fine games, even if they don't stick the landing. I like a lot of what they're doing. I kind of love their aesthetic. I like the goofy, cute thing quite a bit, and I like that they make a lot of sort of little genre mishmashy games. I'm more afraid that it's just not going to hold a candle at all to the first game.
Right.
And of course, you know, that was a beloved game. It's, God, what, 13 years old now? Something like that? I think it was 2005, yeah. So 12. It'll be 13 years in between them. I'm more afraid of that. I'm more afraid of, like, oh, you know, it's fine, but it, you know, that original Psychonauts sure was good. That's the big fear for me.
Awesome. I mean, not awesome that you have that fear, but awesome. I think that's a game that like I had forgotten was actually coming out. It's I think it's on that list of games where for so long we've all heard like, or we've all thought like, oh, it'd be cool if there was a Psychonauts sequel. They're doing it. They're actually doing that thing, and we'll see how it shakes out.
It looks cool. I'm excited.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Awesome. Patrick or Rob, do y'all have games that you are excited about seeing in 2018?
What's your definition of excited?
Oh.
Because
oh, motherfucker, oh. I know what your answer is. Uh-oh. I'm so oh. mad.
You were
fuck
you I, when we in our in our planning document, we were figuring out like our topics and stuff like that. You had like, yeah, hey, people uh-huh. like people by the end of the day, can you fill out like uh-huh. the trend you want to write about? And what game?
Right, this was going to be an article originally. This conversation was originally going to be an article from each of us, so we decided to do a podcast instead. So I know what your answer is.
Last year we did write articles, and I wrote about Resident Evil 7, which paid off.
That turned out good.
It was a good bet. And then this year, like you put a, in the Google Doc, you put a comment, which I think may have just been something like "fuck off," because the game that I am most excited about is Detroit. Beyond Human? Become Human?
Yeah.
I don't even know the subtitle to this game. But, so here's the thing. David Cage games, more than anything else, provoke a reaction. Like, people got some motherfucking opinions about David Cage games. And I have found that I have had some of the most interesting arguments about video games debating the games that he makes. And his last one didn't produce this as much, like Beyond Two Souls, because like so much of like the second half of that game was just like complete dog shit. Like but it had some sequences that did. But anyway, this game has like it's a perfect fucking storm of things.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
like that scene from what was it, Gamescom or whatever it was, where it's like, oh, the Paris thing, like
the Paris
game,
thing.
This game's got child abuse, and like I'm not saying that because I'm excited about child abuse. I'm saying that because like that, if it's got that, think about what's in there that they're not showing in the goddamn trailers. And so I've always said that like I like it when games go for it, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be good. There's like a great above average chance that it's actually going to be bad, but the games go for it in a way that like part of what I enjoy about the arguments that I've had about his games over the years are that they often like end up like laying bare like more fundamental thoughts you have about video games because of like the specific things that he tries and does and often fails at. And then you get like these weird, you know, larger arguments like, well, like it's important that someone attempts to do it even if they fail. But he just kind of keeps failing upward in like this really interesting way. But then he has like moments like in Beyond Two Souls, like the birthday party sequence, and you're like, fuck, like if you just did this more often, like you actually maybe you aren't terrible, like maybe actually you have like some really smart ideas going on in there. And so I feel like Beyond Two Souls was a blip in that it was like mostly bad and we didn't have that conversation, like but I feel like we're looking at a heavy rain, we're looking at an Indigo Prophecy, like Detroit, Become Human. Like, prepare the tanks.
Okay.
I just want the record. Before we continue, I just want the record to show that in this document, what you wrote was that you were looking forward to Detroit, Become Human, mwah ha 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 ha. And what I commented was, you're a criminal. And what, then you said that was a hot take about future hot takes. So, God damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. Spot the lie.
So, I actually, when I was looking at games that are coming out in 2018, or probably coming out in 2018, Detroit Become Human was one of the ones I sort of starred because, like, I have a very morbid curiosity.
Exactly. Tell me, how this is there anyone in this podcast that is not going to play that game?
I'm curious.
Day
I'm
one
curious.
Perch, baby.
I'm so mad.
But at the same time, though, I think what does make me feel a little weird about this one is that it's going to be like the AAA interactive movie version of a John Blow Twitter storm. it's going to be like there are issues in the world And I haven't thought much about them. I certainly haven't read about them or researched them. But fuck it. I thought about it for a few minutes, and I got something to say. Now here it is. And it's going to be that for like 8 to 12 hours while you go through an interactive movie about a civil rights revolution that is highly resonant of like real world social justice issues. But it's all going to be done in this really, like, in the unique tone deafness that has often attended David Cage's work. It's going to be like that, but it's not going to be about a pot boiler anymore. It's not going to be like, oh no, your son is lost in the heavy rain. Where is he's in a tank slowly being filled with the heavy rain. It's
Rob,
going
I
to be
you're wrong because I absolutely think we're going to hear someone say like, I think it's true. You finally become human. Like, we're absolutely going to get that moment.
Cut to credits.
Cut to credits. I guess Detroit has really become human.
Is Detroit somebody's
Wait,
name?
is the city coming alive? Is the city,
I'm saying,
city
well,
AI?
What happens when you get rid of all the androids? No more androids. Cities become human. It's a human city.
Oh
or
my
the
God.
Or we do lean all the way into Indigo Prophecy, like mystic technological crossover, and all of the androids lose their like final shot is all of the little lights on the sides of the android temples all go away, and you can't differentiate between who's a human and who's the android anymore.
I
roll credit,
Austin,
they become human.
Austin, it's Motown because it's Motortown because the androids they run on motors.
I get it.
They turn into cars.
They are
it's
Transformers. This is the new Transformers franchise.
I would say yes to this. I would say if one of them turns into like a tape cassette player, that okay. All right, Jesse Williams turns out to be Soundwave. Cool. Why not?
But like, I think the part of this I'm not looking forward to though is legitimately all the work people are going to have to do trying to set straight why the ways this thing approaches issues like civil rights.
Right.
And
yes.
exploitation, abuse of minorities is problematic to terrible. And it's look, because I don't expect there's going to be a lot of people who are like, yes, here comes David Cage. He's going to set us straight in the year 2018. He's going to deliver us from this era.
One of the things that Cage told me when I talked to him at E3 was that, yes, race and gender and class are all... they're not being stood in for by androids here. Those are all things in this game. And I don't believe him when he says that. Or, like, I believe that those things
like,
are there.
Yeah, it's just like, it's going to be too tempting for you to do... or, like...
I couldn't believe that.
This is a lot of David Cage's, like, storytelling. Is like, he may think that's what he's doing, but that's not what he did. And and what's, I think, most curious about this game is that... and I say this obviously as someone that like has found like various things in some of these games to find interesting enough to like get worked up about and to want to talk about, but this is the first time that like he's been making these games long enough in a style that is consistent across a number of games that people have gotten onto his bullshit, both in like good ways and bad ways, but like what is his specific bullshit.
Right.
And this is the first time he's been challenged about that bullshit ahead of the game coming out, right? Because Heavy Rain like skated on by because like its approach to design was like fascinating in a vacuum, and so that was what all the conversation was, not about what was happening in the game, it was about how the game you were interfacing with it, and that continued over into Beyond Two Souls to a certain extent because people were willing, a lot of people including myself were like, all right, give it another shot. Like, see what you do with it a second time. And then we're also distracted because you got like a prominent actress to come in and like be the face of it. It was this third time. Like, I think in a lot of interviews, you see people like pushing back, like in the way that you, as much as you kind of can, without knowing too much about a game other than the trailers. But it's tipped enough of the hand that this, in some ways, is like, I'm curious to see what the game says or doesn't say because it's been in development long enough that. Will the game include a reaction to some of those things? That reaction may be ham-fisted and bad, but also, like, a lot of this game, like, was this game, like, starting full production during, like, Black Lives Matter, and then, like, this is a game that, like, comes out, like, 3 years later in which, like, here's what I had to say back then. During Ferguson, and now it's out in a game in, you know, 2018 because it got pushed out of 2017.
Well, like, one of those things is, like, the remember Jesse Williams' BET Awards speech in 2016? That happened after they'd already recorded all of Jesse Williams' content for that game. So, like...
Do you want to remind people what that is?
Yeah, so there was a speech that Jesse Williams gave at the BET Awards. He was awarded, like, a humanitarian award, basically. And he gave, like, a big speech about, like, the kind of responsibility that he had regarding his platform, and also the sort of, like, the debt that America owed to black folks, and the sort of, like, recent deaths of people like Tamir Rice. And it was kind of just this, like, incredible piece of oratory that felt like it wrapped up a lot of feelings in 2016. You know, before the election, the feeling that the Black Lives Matter movement had been sort of kind of pushed to the side, and that again and again and again we were seeing these you know, white police officers and you know, people who killed young black kids get off again and again and again. It was a great speech, but, like, that's not why he's in this game. He's in this game because he's a good actor, and David Cage and the casting crew, you know, whoever was the casting agent for this game liked Williams's work. But, like, it's interesting to see that there are these things that have this extra layer of meaning for us as players of the game that we know for a fact we're not part of the development process, because they happened after the development process was undergoing, and in some cases was already done. So, yeah, it is funny. It is rare. But a thing about games is they take a long time to make. We could shoot a movie. We could shoot the Detroit Become Movie. Detroit Become Human. That's the name of the movie. The Detroit Become Human movie. Like, before
that's gonna be the David Cage biopic.
Exactly. But we could
Cage
shoot that
become
before
movie.
Before this game comes out, right? And have it out. You know, I guess that game doesn't even have a real release date yet, right? Is this 2018? Quarter one.
I can't remember
Q1?
If I got one in.
Wikipedia is saying Q1, Q2. So let's say Q2.
2018, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2018, you'll either have a good social justice revolution, or you'll set a gazebo on fire and plunge the country into violence.
That's when you know you've done bad. All right.
Yeah, we gotta stop. We gotta stop talking about this game.
I know, Rob.
See,
what's yours?
Prove my point. Prove my point.
God damn it!
Oh boy.
Motown.
Okay, I'm really torn between two.
Okay.
But I think we might share one, Austin.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the one that I know will probably I'll be alone on, and I'm just going to put my faith in you.
Fuck, I also have two, and one of them I could share either
one
of these with you.
I had two, and I picked one. So shit or get off the pot, you guys.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So anyway.
Pick the one that's true for you, Rob.
Okay, Metro Exodus.
Good game. Not mine, because I'd forgotten about it, and that's a shame. So talk to me about Metro Exodus.
Yeah, so Metro Exodus is going to be the latest entry in the Metro series, which is sort of a survival horror stalker descendant that is sort of set in the remains of human society in the old Moscow underground. In the old subway following a nuclear war. And the previous two games have all been incredibly claustrophobic and have done a great job of creating the sense of there being this entire world and society living in train tunnels underground ever since, like, the bombs fell. And also then sort of introducing this idea of, like, moral complexity in terms of who has a right to exist to an extent. Like, one of the overarching fears in the Metro series is that there's a new humanoid species on Earth, Homo Novus, who are like descended from humans, but like radiation did so much to them, they sort of became kind of like an almost like superpowered offshoot of humanity. And a lot of the first game is sort of about trying to deal with this looming threat and maybe trying to exterminate them. The second game is sort of following up on that with the assumption that humanity did basically try to exterminate them. And now this third game sort of takes place much farther down the road. I don't know how that, I don't know like where it's going to take that plot, but the other thing they're introducing is the surface, which has always been really atmospheric intense and completely inhospitable in previous games. You'd go up there briefly and basically run from one subway station to the next, and you know, basically trying to grab a tough connection in the Metro series. Now the world is going to be much more open, and right. the jump I'm feeling is like this is going to be to the previous game Metro Last Light what The Witcher 3 was to Witcher 2.
That's a big like ambition to have, and I haven't seen them say it in that way, but what I have seen them say is like they are, instead of being kind of very linear games that take place in the tunnels underneath in the kind of the Metro tunnels, there's a little bit more of a sandbox feeling. Like there's still a linear story, there's still like you're going from place to place, but those places are big sandbox survival areas, and that extremely appeals to me.
It's they couldn't make, if they're gonna make another Metro, they had to like fundamentally shift the formula and the calculation of it, because as much as I have liked those games, like they couldn't just make another one that was you exploring the underground. Like I know that the last one like got you above ground a little more often, but this was when they announced this and then revealed that it was going to be like a much a bigger world that you're exploring, and a lot of it, or you know, most of it will be above ground, and then you'll just be going underground for specific sequences. Like it's like that's it. That's like, you know, there's no guarantee it's going to be like a great game, but it was like the path to go if you were going to make another one of these. And I think it has the world itself, like has the potential to be filled with the rich kind of stories that, you know, that made the Witcher 3 such a delight. Like there's just, it's in some ways that the Metro world is defined, and in a whole lot of other ways like it's not defined at all. Like it doesn't have particularly rigid rules, and so there's just a ton of directions they could go in when it comes to like the side quests, and like in a lot, like I really don't care for the main storyline in the Metro games at all. It's like goofy and convoluted in a way that like I wasn't really following or cared about as much anymore. But I always loved, you know, my favorite parts in that game were, you know, almost in between the shooting segments when you were just like exploring little spaces and talking to people and seeing what their troubles were, like their more minor troubles. There were consequences of like all the weird shit that's going on in that universe. And so the opportunity to have a lot more of that stuff and like explore, I just want to see more civilization. Like that's what the end of the last game, I was like, I want to see more of this world. I don't want to see more of like the, you know, the Moscow railroads. Like I need
And that's something they've always really frustrated, is they've implied there's like hubs of civilization that are kind of you know, really rich and dense, but the series has never really let you spend time there. Like the entire first game, you're trying to get to I forget what their sort of promised land is, but it's like the central terminal. Basically, it's where civilization is still basically holding on in this massive junction of different metro lines, and you basically see it in the cutscene, but you never get to spend any time there. And then the rest of the Metro games has always been like, well, you got your 5 minutes of plot in a place that implies like humanity and settlement, and now back into these like linear tunnels and service hatches and such. And I'm hoping that Exodus addresses that and gives you the sense of, and this is kind of where the Witcher comparison I think came in for me. The previous Witcher games, particularly 2, were like, okay, you're in a chapter, and within this chapter you move around, and then you resolve all the things there, and then you move on to the next, and it's sort of linear in that way. Metro is even a lot more confined than your typical RPG. I'm hoping that this is going to just open up that, both open up these sort of like paths you can take through the world, but then also give me some interaction with that story, with that world, rather than just making me a completely passive spectator to different scenes, basically.
Right. Can I say one thing about that game, which is in the trailer, in the first E3 trailer, the guy pulls out a physical map and has a map, map, and it's a great moment, and That's all. That was a cool moment. I'm excited to play this game. That's fall,
good
right?
Maps.
It's like, yes.
That's what Autumn. The last thing they said was fall.
Which was
fingers
at,
crossed.
At the Paris Game Awards. Week thing. Or it was Game Awards. That was Game Awards. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that. So, yeah, totally. I have to make a decision here. Right, Rob, was that the game that you thought we were linked on?
No.
Really? Okay. If I had thought better, that would have been one that we should have been linked on. I have to make a decision, and it's a real hard one.
I believe in you. You can do it.
Oh, man. See, I was thinking in robot-y directions.
Oh, neither of mine are robot-y. I feel like I'm missing a robot-y game. I know. I have to make a decision between anime and systems. And I think I'm going to go systems and repeat my answer from last year and choose State of Decay 2.
Okay.
Which was supposed to come out last year, which is why I wrote about it for Waypoint last year, State of Decay 2. If you look up our end of year stuff last year, I wrote, can State of Decay 2 elevate the original? And that was my big question coming into 2017 when it was supposed to release.
Maybe that's why it was delayed.
Because
they were like, shit, we gotta elevate the original.
we've listened loud and clear. We've heard you loud and clear. You don't think that our new product elevates the original. Well, we're committed to changing that. And what I wrote then was based on a very small peak of the game. You know, the tagline was "Nobody Survives Alone," and an early trailer for it seemed to communicate what I really loved about the first one to some degree, which was like a mix of open world nonsense action, like driving cars through zombies and wielding sledgehammers and all that fun stuff. But also definitely spent the time that I wanted to see on like building a base and the sort of calmer moments of that series, which really set it apart for me from other zombie fiction things. Like, I'm not a big zombie fiction person at this point in my life. I had my period of reading all of the Walking Dead comics that were out at the time. You know, I had my period of playing Left 4 Dead with all of my friends. Like, I've gone through that stuff. But right now, like, I'm a low lull for zombie stuff. And yet, what I saw of State of Decay 2 at E3 made me really excited, not just because I thought it was going to hit all the same notes of the first game, which is one of my favorite games probably of the last decade, but also introduced some really cool new elements that will help the game's more systems-driven procedural storytelling style of content, like the stuff around individual character traits, characters who snore, being, you know, lowering the overall happiness of your camp. You know, characters who have a sort of running history of events where they know what has happened in the last, you know, over the last two or three missions you've sent them out on. Relationships between your camp and other factions, which was something totally absent from the original game, but is so key to so much fiction in the genre, where it's about who you're willing to work with and who you, you know, where you kind of let those gray areas slide because you know that at the end of the day, at least they're not zombies. And like, I want to dig into that stuff. And what I really wanted from State of Decay 2 is to lean into that stuff via procedural systems driven storytelling, because I'm not, you know, throwing shade at the writers of those games, but like the writing in that first game was pretty good. It was fine. But what was really great was the stories that I made by playing it, and the characters who I recognized from earlier in the game and how they changed over the course of play, or how I lost them, or how I almost lost them, or, you know, the encounters that they survived, the sort of who they helped save and bring into the fold. And it seems like that they are really, really, really doubling up on that. And on top of that are bringing, you know, 4-player co-op to it, including a version of it that like hits, that scratches a lot of the itches that I love about some Dark Souls stuff. There's going to be a thing you can kind of check that says like, oh, I'm going to be someone who helps people. And so you'll get an update when someone shoots a flare into the sky and you can go join them wherever they are to save them, or maybe not save them. We'll see. and as always, you can lose whoever you're playing as, because you're not playing as a character in Save Decay. You're playing as one of these proc gen characters who, you know, the high school football quarterback who has turned into a used car salesman, or the nurse who, you know, has a who loves to play chess. And that means that that she has like a bonus to certain, you know, strategy or tactical things, or the Olympic sprinter who, you know, broke her ankle and developed an addiction or something, right? Like, all of these characters are built from these archetypical components, and so it makes each of them feel so not real necessarily, but so potent, so filled with potential meaning, and I just love games that do that. And it's rare that the games that do it the most for me in my life are games like Crusader Kings 2, like Star Traders Frontiers, which we talked about, you know, behind the curtain today when we recorded the other podcast we did. And it's cool to see that stuff every time it leaks into an action focused, larger budget, you know, 3D game, and not just in these very stat driven, table driven, menu driven games that I also love. Save Decay 2. Let me kill some zombies and build a cool base. That's all I'm saying.
At least that game's finally going to come out. Summer? The game's going to come out. Is that what I said? Summer? Do we get a date on that?
We don't have a date yet. We don't have a date yet.
This can't happen. Austin, I swear to God.
What if it happens again?
If we're here in a year and you're like,
2019.
What if it happens? Could you imagine?
They're really elevating that game's systems.
That would be something incredible. My guess is we will get a date.
It's spring.
Yeah, it'll be after April. Like, you know, it'll be Q1. It'll be fiscal Q1 2018 is my guess. So after tax season.
But I think if we want to be safe, you know, and make sure that the game comes out in 2018 that Austin picked. I think BattleTech is a great.
BattleTech is also great
placeholder.
That would have been a good one for me to pick. So would have MechWarrior.
Is that the strategy one?
That's the strategy one. There is also, okay, this is the thing. It's like, I'm 2018 is poised to be a good year for games for me. You know what I mean? Not necessarily.
Give me that From Software game. You're coming out next year.
I'd have doubts about that. Do you really think?
What else have they been doing?
From Software is fucking brutally efficient. Their games don't tend to get delayed. They tend to get that shit out. I would have put Spelunky 2 as my game if that game had a date, but that game does not even have a year.
Danielle, what was the one that you were like, you didn't want to say what it was? But
oh, yeah. I don't mind saying what it was. I was doing a little goof about being, you know.
No, I got you. What was the other one?
Vampire. I'm really interested in Vampire.
I'm with you. I am tremendously excited about that game.
I'm very curious about it.
Super curious about it. It's Don't Nod, who did Remember Me, and then did, of course, the original Life is Strange. They've done interesting things with genre. I am super down for like a World War One era vampire RPG. Like, that sounds pretty cool.
I hope it's good. What I saw from it last year was like not quite there, but you know, that was 2016, so I really hope they bring it together.
This is the first I totally missed this. Yeah. Holy shit. Spanish influenza vampire?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Fuck
like,
off.
Who do you eat? Or not eat, but who do you kill? God. Who do you drink the blood of to kill? And like, it's a small community and it tracks all the characters. It seems like it has a lot of potential. I hope it's good. The other one, Rod, that I thought maybe you thought I was going to go for was Valkyria Chronicles 4, I'm very excited about, but there's just not enough there for me yet to be like, this is the one, outside of I really love that first Valkyria Chronicles.
Literally,
game.
Their only trailer was like, okay, so heard you. we are making a real Valkyria, and believe us this time, this is a real Valkyria. Because
the last
game.
One was not; it was a bad JRPG, like an action RPG that was just woof, real bad. So I hope it's good. That's coming out next year too. Patrick, any other last stitch things you're looking forward to before we wrap?
I was trying to look at games coming out in 2018. I was trying to like go through that list to see if there's anything like.
There's so much like UFO, whatever the other Derek Yu.
UFO 50,
not just Derek Yu. It's a group of developers. Super excited about that. And there's lots of stuff that I'm curious.
Bayonetta 3, is that going to come out next year?
Is what going to come out next year?
Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, that'll be next year. Like,
but Shenmue 3, that's another 3.
That's not coming out next year. There's no way.
That is maybe spring 2019.
They're hand animating expressions onto their characters as we speak.
A Way Out, I'm still super excited about that game.
Yep. I'm in kind of the take category, Patrick.
Uh-huh,
Far Cry 5 comes out in March.
Oh! I'm with you, but everything I've heard about that game makes me think that not that it won't be good. It could very well be good, but I the game may not be as bold as some of us were hoping.
No, I have in fact heard specifically rumors that it was going to be very bold, and people made choices on staffing that would keep that from being the case, is what I've heard. Again, rumors are rumors, but like I heard the shit I heard was very frustrating.
Wonder where that came from. Okay.
Yeah. Last of Us 2? Anybody? Last of Us 2?
I don't think that comes out next year.
I'm gripping my armrests on Last of Us 2.
Okay. That's
I
fair.
I feel like there's so many ways for that. Like, what they've shown is not. Not, makes me think maybe they didn't get it.
Yeah. Anthem is scheduled for Q4 2018.
Bullshit. That comes out.
There's no next way. Year. There's no way. If it does, could you? Yeah, man, that would be dope.
That's definitely that is
it's
like
just a slot machine with different battle suits on the.
It's only a loot box. All it is a loot box. That's it.
That's like the perfect candidate for a game that is gets delayed next. There's a trailer at E3. We find out it's been delayed till like early 2019, and then it suddenly like mid March, and then it's like a 50-50 chance if it makes it before the end of EA's fiscal year, which there'll be a push for in the same way there was for Andromeda, but that could easily still slip to this because that game's going to be even more important now that Mass Effect
was
such an
important
dongle
they have. Yeah,
so
totally.
Like that's the kind of game that they will delay till they feel they've got it right because Star Wars. You know, it was a shit show. I mean, it'll probably still make money, but it certainly doesn't seem to be the big thing that they want it to be. And Mass Effect will come back. They will make another Mass Effect game.
Yeah,
but that game's probably, three, 4 years from now.
We skipped a huge one that none of us chose, and I think it's surprising. Red Dead.
I know.
Red Dead 2.
I don't know what to make of that game. I mean, I'm excited because I play every Rockstar game because they do interesting things, even in games that don't click for me, like GTA 5 or things like that. But, I mean, what game are we going to get? Are we going to get the last 2 hours of Red Dead Redemption 2 turned into a game? Or like, you know,
or
the moment in Mexico?
GTA Online, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that each of those has the potential to be good, you know? But we will see. I don't know. Small one. Here's one small one that I actually really loved from E3 that I don't think I wrote about or really talked about much. Is a game called Laser League. It's by Roll7, the developers of Ali Ali and Not a Hero or something like that. I forget what the other game is called. But it's a really cool multiplayer thing that it's hard to even explain. Just go look up trailers for it because it is like a you know, couch competitive type thing. I mean, it might have online, like a future sport with it's like a little bit of a it's like a competitive team based bullet hell game in some way. It's not bullets, it's lasers. It's like hard laser things, grids, but it's really fucking cool. It takes a little while to wrap your head around, but once you do, it was a blast. So
I want to know how Sony justifies making a 25 to 30 hour God of War game.
Wait, is that really how long that game's supposed to be?
They said that's what the playtest for new players are coming in at 25 to 30 hours. Yeah.
I'm good.
You're just gonna slaughter an entire pantheon in one go.
Just one? Just one pantheon?
You mean that you're gonna chain them together like
the
sick
Norse
combo?
Gods and the Greek gods here.
Yeah, no, yeah, they'll start bringing in other religions. Just like, hey, where you want to go? Choose your own religion.
Egyptian
who you want to go
gods.
Slaughter?
Yeah.
Rob, did you know they're making an Anno 1800?
I did.
Next year? I didn't know that. That means we're zeroing in on the whatever the like. Because do people know this that the Anno games all of the years add up to the number 9? So it's like. Anno 1701 adds up to 1 plus 7 plus 0 plus 1 is 9, and this is Anno 1800, so it's Anno 1800, and 1 plus 8 is 9. I'm so desperate to get the Anno 2007, and it's all I want, and so every time we get a new Anno game, we get one step closer to them doing Anno 2007, like at the height of the financial crisis, like leading into the financial crisis. It's all I fucking want, because it would just be such a good, it's like such a, we don't get anything set in from like 1990 to 2010, and it would be so cool to get that. So I hope 1800 is good, and then they just start immediately making 2007.
And it just goes full on, like, brutal satire.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s, startup culture, the bailouts.
Oh, sweet.
Everything.
The investment bankers are starting to move into my city.
Yes. Occupy Wall Street. Like, seriously, it would be so good. Anyway.
Also, 2018 is going to be the year of, like, an explosion of ports for the Switch.
Oh, that's a good point.
That is going to be, like...
Switch year two.
Really convenient for like a really convenient format for a whole bunch of like different game types.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
God. All right. I think that might do it for us. I think otherwise we're just gonna sit here staring at this Wikipedia list of new games for the next 3 hours. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us over the course of the last week. You've had a blast doing these holiday editions of Waypoint Radio. I'm not going to do all of our big outro stuff, and instead I just want to say I hope everyone's had a fairly good year considering how bad everything has been, and if we've been able to offer even a little bit of joy or distraction or enlightenment even here or there this year, that has been I'm incredibly proud of being able to offer that, and to everyone else on this call and to the rest of the team that I'm not getting choked up
no.
Sorry.
Oh, no,
I didn't get more water. I said I was going to get more water. To everybody who is on this call and to everybody who's helped make Waypoint what it is this year, like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping us get through our first full year of being a website on the internet. It can be hard out there. And we've learned so much, and we have just enjoyed so much making the stuff that we've made and interacting with all of you out there. So as always, if you have questions going into the new year, you can send them to gaming@vice.com. As always, thank you to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. As always, you can find us at waypoint.vice.com. And if you haven't seen any of our year-end stuff, go check it out. There have been podcast videos, tons of articles, original art, and everyone's worked really hard to make that happen. So thank you again to everyone on this call and everyone not on this call who helped make that happen. We will see you in the new year, where it will be 2018, and we'll get to start wondering immediately if we're going to escalate, if it's going to escalate over the original or whatever, elevate the original of whatever this fucking year has been.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Me either. Not
I really
at
hope
all.
2018 can elevate the material of 2017.
Oh. Fuck. God. All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for us for now.
Good.
Danielle, what do we...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
2018. Let's just make this a prayer for 2018. 2018, please be good and be good at it.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.